This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to talk to you in these next few minutes from the subject of guarding your heart. Everybody say it. Say guarding your heart. It is so vitally important that we guard our heart. My objective today is to make you aware of the enemy's plan to contaminate your heart, to get you out of faith, and to get you off course in life. That's what the enemy wants to do. John 10 and 10 teaches us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? Jesus is the one that comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so it's vitally important that we make sure that we keep our hearts right, because situations are going to happen in life. How many know that? People are going to change their minds about you. How many know that? Somebody's going to lie on you. You can't worry about that, and you can't let your heart get corrupt over some foolishness. Amen? The Bible teaches us that if our heart condemns us, that we don't have any faith or any confidence toward God. So it is so important that we keep our heart right. Why, Pastor? Because God wants to do some incredible things in your life, but it is only to the degree that your heart is pure and that you walk in love. You got it? The Bible teaches us in Galatians that faith, that it works by love. So love is the motivator and faith is the activator. Everything that we do should be motivated by love. And then when we use our faith, it activates incredible things in our lives. Now, this next quote I'm going to give you, this one is grammable, tweetable, and bookable, all right? But just make sure you say it right. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your faith. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your faith. Boy, y'all are just sitting there writing all those notes. That's good. Did you tell them to write them notes? You did not tell them to write those notes? They just write. You got a lot of notes? All kind of notes? Pages of notes. You got notes too? You do? Okay, praise the Lord. People still take notes in church. I like that. You taking notes on your phone. Ryan's taking notes. That's good. That's real good, okay? And for those of you that are not note takers, that's okay. What you do is you go back and you listen to it over and over. We keep it on Facebook. We keep it on, help me out, YouTube. We keep it on our podcast. And that's so important while you hear it. Because sometimes you're like, what is that the pastor said? And you can go back and you can check it out. Praise God. But that just blessed me. I had to just stop because they was taking notes. That must mean what I'm saying is halfway good. Praise the Lord. You taking notes too, huh, Jasmine? Okay, all right. Let me just give these note takers some money. Come here. Here, so I don't have too much. Come here. So, Zanny, you take 20 for you. You take 20 for you. Now, girl, you got all my money. Every last penny of it. Jasmine, you take 20 for you. Come on, Ryan. And Ryan, you take 20. I know a lot of y'all probably taking those, but those are the ones I saw. Give it up for them. That's important. All right, the condition of your heart. Oh, that's real good. I'm talking about the heart, because you'd be like, well, shucks, he ain't give me $20. If God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Look how God, watch this now, put them on my heart, and no disrespect, but I wasn't necessarily thinking about them at that time. Do you know that God will raise up people and put you on their mind and on their heart for them to bless you? Isn't that good? But your heart's got to be right. So when you see God blessing your neighbor, you celebrate and rejoice with those who rejoice. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your faith. So it doesn't matter what they did to you. What matters is how you respond. Does that make sense? Because the enemy wants to get you frustrated and jealous and envious and angry and bitter and all those kind of things. And you can't fall into those traps, you know? See, at the end of the day, the enemy just wants you, watch this, to lose it so you can become a bad witness for Jesus. And now we've all lost it. Every last one of us in the house, if I asked you to raise your hand, we'd have to put both hands up, because at some point in our life, we lost it. We went off on somebody. We did something, you know, that we shouldn't have did. Hopefully, after you went off with someone, there was some conviction. You got it. Not condemnation, but conviction, saying, man, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me and try better so you don't do it again. Amen. All right. And so when we do these things and get out of character, we lose witness. And it's important not to lose our witness. Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse tells us why. He says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. A lot of us like salt. We probably don't need as much as we have. If you go to the doctor, he might even tell you to cut some out. But a lot of us like salt. Can I get up? He says, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? He says, you've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Now, that's the Message translation. That's just what it says. Now, it's very important that we keep our saltiness. You got it? How do I keep my saltiness? Because see, you might be the only light that somebody sees for Jesus, right? So you have to keep your saltiness. You have to let the fruit of the Spirit be in operation in your life. Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and meekness and temperance. All these things, against such there is no law, right? And so watch this. So okay, so you know, this culture got a word called salty. Not that kind of salty. You got it? You know, that salty means hating, there you go, yeah, upset, right. But that's not the salty I'm talking about. You got to keep the God kind of saltiness, right? You know, like just imagine Lady loves fried chicken. Most of you all love fried chicken. And imagine you walking into a restaurant, you know, and getting your fried chicken, and it's golden, it's fluffy. It looked like they used some new grease and not that old grease. You understand? Like it looks good. And then you take a bite in it to find out there was no seasoning at all. No seasoning on the chicken, no seasoning in the batter. It wouldn't be a very good piece of chicken. Well, that's what the writer says for us, that we are supposed to be a light that shines, but if we don't have any seasoning, we don't really show people what God really looks like in the earth. He says in verse 14, here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? He says, I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. You got to get this part. He says, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And so I've got to make sure that I'm presenting myself in a way, because sometimes when people look at you, that's what they think Jesus looks like. If I tell them that I'm saved and I go to church and I'm filled with the Spirit and I love the Lord and those kind of things, but then every time I get mad, I cuss somebody out. That's not a very good witness. Praise the Lord. Okay, y'all got a little quiet. Proverbs 4 and 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of it are the issues of life. The Message translation breaks it down. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard what's going in. Got it? Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So whatever comes up out of you is what is in you. I told you years ago, I had met this preacher. I was leaving a pastor's conference, met this preacher for the first time, and he was there catching a flight. And so we were talking. He found out that his flight was delayed, and he got a little mad, you know, and then he found out that it got canceled. Thank you. It got canceled. And then he cussed. And then I think he was okay with it until I looked at him like, he said, oh, my bad, man, that slipped. I said, no, brother, that didn't slip. That was in you, because whatever's in you comes up out of you. You got it? And so you have to guard what goes in you. Hello, somebody. Because whatever goes on the inside of you is what's coming up on the outside of you. There's certain disciplines that I have. I'm not a perfect guy, so don't take this the wrong way. But there are disciplines that I have. There's certain things I won't allow to go in me. There's certain movies that I won't go watch because it just has too much cussing and too much craziness. If you do it, I'm not knocking you, okay? But I'm just telling you. Why? Because I don't want that stuff coming up out of me, so I watch what goes in me. I watch the conversations that I hear. You got it? I'm careful of the music that I listen to. Why? I've got to guard my heart. He says, that's where life starts. Watch what the writer says. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Somebody say, I know that's right. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step and watch this. And the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left, leave evil in the dust. And so we've got to understand the importance of guarding our hearts and being the light that Jesus wants us to be. And at the end of the day, it's all about making good decisions. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 would tell us that life is choice driven, that we are where we are because of the choices that we made in the past. If you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up. There's no use in crying over spilled milk. Just start making better choices. And as you make better choices, it'll put you in a better place. All right. We'll read Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you. I'm going to try it again. Let's act like that didn't happen a minute ago, all right? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death. Blessings and earth. He says, choose what class? Life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So that the choices you make and the decisions you make affect more than just you. They affect people around you. They affect your children. They affect your children's children. And so that's why you have to make sure that you make good decisions in life. Making good decisions in life is based on two things. Number one, conviction. Everybody say conviction. My definition for conviction is a firm belief of the word of God that has shaped me to the degree that I always make a calculated choice to do what's right. So I have this conviction of the word of God, and I've allowed the word to shape me, and I've made a calculated choice that I'm going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I've made a calculated choice that I'm going to do what the word says do. I've made a calculated choice that I'm going to put God at the top of the list, and if I put God at the top of the list, he will take care of the rest of my life. So I have a conviction. And not only do I make good decisions based on convictions, but I also make them based on courage. Everybody say courage. Courage is simply the ability to face any challenge, obstacle, or person without fear. So I've got a conviction and I've got a courage that I'm going to do things God's way. And if I do things God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. Let me talk to you about a few things as we go through our lesson. Is anybody getting blessed? All right, number one, everybody say number one. Number one, letting go of the past. Letting go of the past. Never allow your past to bleed into your present or it will pollute your future, all right? That what's in the past is in the past. You've got to learn how to let it go. If you messed up, let it go. If you, there's people who have made mistakes and messed up and have fallen short. One thing that keeps holding them back because they get caught up in the past. And you've got to learn how to let it go. Like if it's in the past, it's in the past. Because the enemy will attempt to bring up your past in an effort to derail your faith, to cause you to become frustrated, upset, angry, bitter. And you can't allow the enemy to take you there. You go, I'll take you there. No, you ain't gonna take me there. You got it? No, I'm not. But you know, everybody has their buttons. Don't let the devil push your buttons. Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't let the devil get you caught up in your past. It's a new season. It's a new day. There's a fresh anointing on you. You got to learn how to leave your past and watch this and be confident in your and watch this and have faith for your future that you see better days, you see brighter days, you see days of peace, you see days of prosperity, you see days of debt freedom, you see days of joy. You got to learn how to leave the past alone, watch this, and get excited about what God has for your future. Does that make sense? Your later will be greater. So every day I step into should be a greater day. That is why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me. He said, and I'm pressing and I'm reaching forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. He had his mind made up that what was in the past was in the past. And he was going to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And so you got to learn how to let go of the past. While we're talking about letting go of some things, I keep typing and I keep adding notes. So this isn't on the screen. But let's just talk about letting go of sin. Okay, nobody had anything to say. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm in the right house. Amen. All right. Letting go of sin. All right. People don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we got to? Sin will take you places you don't want to go. leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you should not pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. It's only 11:54. You understand? You got it? And so I don't pray prayers like that. You know, I've made it up in my mind that I'm going to, through the best of my ability, do things God's way so I can get God results in my life. Like the Bible teaches us that, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's got a will for you, but he's not going to make you go down his road. You got it? But you have to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable servant. It's the least you can do for everything. I mean, Jesus died and shed his blood to make sure you can have eternal life. The least we could do is live for him. I should have got a better amen than that. Okay, I'm just gonna stay right here. I'm gonna stay right here till you get happy. I mean, no, because this culture, the more we live and the longer we live, this culture's teaching us it's okay to do things that the Bible didn't say it's okay to do. Because now this culture is telling us that it's okay to be a Christian and do some things that it's not okay to do. Hello, the Bible has not changed. You got it? No, when we begin to understand church, methods, M-E-T-H-O-D-S, they might change, but the message of the Word of God never changes. Methods, you got it. Back in the day, when I grew up, we knocked on doors. That's how we witnessed. Now we have all kind of witnessing tools, and we have more people that come to our church because of social media, and they see our services online. So we thank God that these methods change, and we can get the people quicker and those kind of things, but the message of the Word of God has to still stand true. Isn't that right? Yeah. You know, they got all kind of crazy things out there. You know, like let me talk to all my single ladies. Like you have to know you have value. Because if you don't know you have value, you will let somebody disrespect you. It's not the will of God for you to, I don't know what y'all call it, be somebody's side chick. Like, why in the world would you be okay with knowing a guy got somebody else and you're going to be on the side? You got to tell him, if I can't be the main thing, then I can't be the main thing. Like, at some point, you can't devalue yourself. You got to know who you are and whose you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. Hello, somebody. And if you watch it, if you can't be the main thing, then you can't be nothing at all. Because sex ain't going to make them love you. And a baby ain't going to make them stay. I done told you this stuff. We done rehearsed this. No wed, no bed. No ring, nothing. No contract, no contact. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice. I'm cold as ice. But please don't touch my merchandise. You got to make it up in your mind. I'm not going down that road. I know who I am, and if I got to wait longer than somebody else, it's okay. Because watch it, my order is special, and it takes time for something to be special. One of my friends, man of God, he used to years ago go through McDonald's, and he liked a Filet-O-Fish sandwich, but he got his Filet-O-Fish sandwich different. I've never had one, but I think it comes with some kind of mayonnaise on it or something. But he gets a Filet-O-Fish with no mayonnaise, and he wants pickles on it, and he wants mustard on it, and he wants ketchup on it. He says every single time he gets it, he has to pull up. They always tell him, can you please pull up, you know, and we'll bring it out. He says every time without fail. And he says what happens is they're in there making it. He says, but he sees one car go by, and then he sees a second car go by, and he sees another car go by, but he says, I don't get upset because I know that my order is special and it's just going to take a little time. You got to learn how to not get upset when whatever you're believing for has not showed up yet, because God's got a special order for you and it's just going to take a little bit of time. I'm teaching better than you. Shouting amen up in here. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the what class? The will of God. Even your sanctification for you. That's sanctification, not a bad word. Holiness is not a bad word. Sanctification to be set apart, that ye abstain from what? See, some people don't even know that word. What's that word, bud? I don't got my glasses on. Fornication, sex outside of marriage. That's not God's will for your life. It's not your will to be tangled up with this person, tangled up with this person, tangled up, and then you finally meet the person in your dreams, and you know, it's like, you know, don't say that, but you already know where I'm going, though. They don't know who you are. Praise the Lord. That every one of you should know how to possess his or her vessel in sanctification and in honor. That's the will of God for our life. Oh, you're so quiet today. See, you just thought I was going to teach a nice little Mother's Day lesson today. See, flesh unchecked will go right back to the same thing it was delivered from. Did you hear what I said? Flesh unchecked will go right back to the same thing. You can get delivered from a thing. You got it. But it's up to you to stay delivered from a thing. You got it. And so you got to tame the wild man or woman, as the case may be. So that's to all my singles. All right. Now for my married couples, because I'm equal opportunity, I come at you all. You understand? You know, for my married couples, you have to trust God's plan that you can be fulfilled with your mate. And you don't need a side chick, or what would a man be if he was on the side? A fool. Okay, Lord, forgive me. I don't know. I put myself in that situation. Say, what would I be? I would be a fool. So I wasn't talking about anybody else. Aren't you glad you came to church at 11 o'clock in the morning? Aren't you glad that you got a real man of God and a real woman of God that will get up and be honest with you and tell you the truth? Like sometimes I have to stop and say, where are all the real men and women of God? I mean, real men of God still live holy. Real men of God still love their wives. Real men of God still abstain from adultery and fornication. Real men of God don't go around cussing and drinking and small. Oh, see, I don't hear nobody saying nothing in here. Real men of God set the example. So like Paul says, you follow me as I follow Christ. But if I stop following Christ, you stop following me. Ooh, that's good right there. That's good. Second Peter 1 and 3. Second Peter, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto, watch this, life and godliness. Everything we need, all right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And we praise the Lord for these promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what class? Lust. The writer says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Typically, if you mess up, make a mistake, fall, and I'm not knocking anybody, you can look through those three gates, and it came through one of those gates. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Watch where verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, this is not the same virtue as the healing virtue of Jesus that we read in Peter. This virtue has to do with behavior. You got it? Like godly behavior. Why? And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, watch this one, brotherly kindness. We're supposed to love everybody. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, what things? All the things I just read. And abound. So not just laying dormant, but you're exercising these things, right? They make, watch this, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is what class? Is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what's going to happen? You shall never fall. Now, either we're going to believe the Bible or we're not going to believe the Bible. Isn't that right? So it's possible to live, watch this, a victorious, overcoming life. Even if maybe you're in a situation where it doesn't seem like you're so victorious or you're not overcoming, it's possible. All right? All right. So that was number one. Man, I spent my whole lesson on number one, but I have 4 minutes and 30 seconds left. So we'll get through these next two. I only have 3 points. Y'all know I'm a three-point preacher for the most of the time. Every now and then again, I give you four or five, but we have 3 points for today. All right? All right. Almost there. Everybody say almost there. Check your neighbor to the left. Check your neighbor to the right. Make sure no one's sleeping. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right. All right. Everybody say leaving negative people. There you go. Once you totally commit to Christ, you must learn to redefine certain relationships in your life that are not good for you. I call them toxic relationships, you got it? And there's certain toxic relationships that you're just going to have to redefine, all right? It doesn't mean you have to be mean. It doesn't mean that you have to be hateful. But, you know, when you really commit your life to Christ and you're going down a certain road, everybody can't go down the road you're going down. If you're trying to be successful in life, you know, everybody don't want to go down the road of success. You know, if you're trying to make it at the top, it's lonely at the top. You understand? Because everybody is not willing to do what it takes to get there. So you have to hang around people of like precious faith so iron can sharpen iron, so you can push them and they can push you, and you can encourage them and they can encourage you. Proverbs 13 and 20, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and what's going to happen? Watch your life fall to pieces. Everybody say, ain't nobody got time for that. You got to know who's good for you and who's not good for you. Can I get a? Never allow the experiences of others to taint your faith and cause you to get off track with God. Your most important relationship is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything, watch this, funnels from that. See, the reason that this church thrives and those kind of things is, number one, Lady LaCante and I, we live holy lives. You got it? We're doing it God's way. And watch this. We have real relationships with God, and you are getting the overflow of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake now. Just. All right. I'm still working on my smile. You know, I had oral cosmetic surgery, and I'm about 80% smiling, but sometimes I smile at 100 and I got to catch myself. Praise the Lord. I can't help it. You know, laughter is good medicine, isn't that right? All right. So never allow the experience of others to taint your faith and cause you to get off track. Let me take it a little further. Can I take it a little further? Never allow a bad experience you've had at this church with somebody else change your mind about this church or lady or and I. Yeah, no. I mean, come on. You know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes you might meet somebody. Y'all might just be odds, you know. And I pray that y'all get it right and get it together. But the last thing you need, I'm leaving church. Why would you leave a life-giving church that has great leaders, that's giving you the word, and your life is getting better? You don't run from that. You run to that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, well, they bothering me. You got it. Well, you know, you just have to pray. No, I'm serious. That's not an excuse. That's the truth. You're just going to have to pray and make it up in your mind. I'm not leaving my church because my church is where I'm getting what I need for my life. And if, watch this, and me separated from my church, that just ain't going to work out good for my life. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last one, number three, learning to handle persecution. Learning to handle persecution. I think this one's a good place to go home. Persecution is only effective to the degree that I need acceptance from the one talking. If I don't need acceptance, it really don't matter, right? I mean, I've learned, you know, people going to say what they say. Why get upset? Why fall apart? You got it. You know, you get, hey, Pastor, what's wrong? Somebody talking about, baby, they've been talking about you. You just finally found out. That's all that is. Yeah, you can't worry about that. You know, in life, you're going to have people that's going to love you and always going to be there with you. And you're going to have people that's going to be funny. Just what you do is just love them and pray for them. But don't let it steal your joy. Real quick, I got to go home. 34 seconds. There are three groups of people to remember. Number one, the ones who tried to hurt you. You always protect yourself from them. Always protect yourself from them. Number one, ones who tried to hurt you. Number two, the ones who tried to help you. You always remember them. You always remember the people that tried. I did not get here by myself. I'm standing on the shoulders of so many people that pushed me here. So you never forget the people. You got it. I've got pastors. I've got mentors in my life. You got it. And then I've got my family. You got it. I love my family. You got it. I'm good to my family. I remember them. I remember my friends. My good friends have always stuck with me through thick and thin. I remember my staff. I say my staff is the staff here at church. Why? Because they're always trying to help. They're always trying to push the vision. They're always trying. So I remember them. You got it. You know, I remember you. Because I realized that, watch this, I didn't get the 102 Washington Post Road by myself. I didn't build Max Place by myself. I didn't obtain that. Really, I didn't do any of it. We did it together as a family. Right? Like, if you want to go fast, you go by yourself. But if you want to go far, you go together. So I realize, I understand that I didn't get here by myself. That the reason we are where we are is because we came together for the glory of Christ. And to the degree that we stay together, we're going to keep doing amazing. Man, our church is always doing something for somebody all the time. Like no lie. Like, we don't have enough time to always tell you what we're doing. You see some of the stuff where we give a check to here. You just don't see all the other checks that we write and things that we do and people that we help. Just we spend all service telling you, well, we blessed this person. We found out about this and this. No, but the bottom line is, if you're connected to this church, you're connected to a life-giving church. Watch this. Who thrives on being generous and making Jesus look big in the earth. So did I give you the last one, number three? No. So number one was the ones who tried to hurt you. Number two was the ones who tried to help you. Last one, number three, the ones who tried to hinder you. You have to be cautious and watch out for them. They didn't help your milestone, but they also didn't help your tombstone. People like that you use as stepping stones and learn for the next time. You know, oh, that sounds tough, Pastor. Yeah, until you go through something, if somebody hurts you. But if you don't have the wisdom I'm giving you now, you won't respond the right way. You will be cussing somebody out. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, Timothy felt it necessary to tell some of the other believers what was going on. He calls this guy out. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me great wrongs. But I love this next part. He says, but the Lord will pay him back for his actions. Beware of him yourself, for he opposed and resisted our message very strongly and exceedingly. So, you know, so what he did was he let them know what was going on. You got it. But he said, don't do nothing to them. God's got them. And so when people mistreat you, give it to God. When people lie on you, give it to God. When people change their mind about you, give it to God. Sometimes, and I don't mean this the right way, sometimes there's a relationship that you probably, friendship, you know, just all kind of relationship that you probably shouldn't be in. But if you're not careful, you don't feel that you could still be fulfilled in that relationship if you walk away. Not realizing that if you walk away, that'll close a door to your life and God will open a greater door for you. So when people mistreat you, do what? Give it to God. He is a very present help in time of trouble. What you need to do is learn how to cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He really, really, he cares for you and he's concerned about you. He's concerned about what concerns you. He's concerned about what keeps you up at night. He's concerned about the things that frustrate you or the things that stress you out. God is concerned about you. And that's why you have to go to him and give it to him and cast all your care upon him. And he watches, and you have to, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me because I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Watch this, he says, and you shall find rest for your soul. Why? He says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what you got to do is you got to cast all your burdens unto him and you got to make an exchange. Your will for his will. Your way for his way. I promise you, if today you start always putting God at the top of the list, he'll take care of the rest of the list. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise all over the building. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Believers praying. Please, nobody moving. We have a few leaders that have to get up and move. But if everybody else could please stay seated. We're going to be gone in about 2 or 3 minutes. Father, I just thank you for this word. And this is what I want you to do. My head's about, eyes are closed, and nobody's moving. Why do you say don't move? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to minister in this time. And if you're grabbing all your stuff and trying to get ready to go, you don't realize it, but you could be a distraction to someone that the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to. And maybe he wants to talk to you. And so sometimes, moments like this, you just got to learn how to be still and be quiet and hear from God. I want you to ask God right now to yourself where you are. Say, just Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this message? And I believe that he will begin to speak to you not only now, but throughout this day and throughout this week. And he'll minister to you and he'll meet you at the point of your need. And so for Father, now I just thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And that you're comforting every person in this room in the name of Jesus. I thank you that as they cast their care upon you, you've already made it clear that you care for them. So I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it guards their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I thank you as they put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you will help them and that you will strengthen them and you will give them the grace that they need and the strength that they need for the days ahead. Regardless of what they're going through, I declare that they are graced for this season and this moment that they're in Jesus' name. I thank you for your provision in their lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you that even on this week, they will have some God did it moments in their lives. This is our year of unshakable faith and unstoppable blessings, and we're not stopping now. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand?